Well, the whole book of Ezekiel has so much information in it, so much going on of things that have taken place in the captivity. They're away from Israel at the time. And then God in this chapter is taking him into Israel. And he's showing them up in the spirit. He's showing him something that he's never seen before. And that he is amazed by. Ezekiel, he's just amazed. So really, properly, I think what I'll do is read the entire chapter. It's only 18 verses. But because you need to get the context of what's going on here, okay? And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins, even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head. Grabbed him right by his hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Pay attention. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. I hope you're paying attention to everything here. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jazaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Notice that in verse number 10, though. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. All right, remember that. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Are you paying attention? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord forsaken the earth. And he said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, and their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore I will also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear with them. Now, what's going on here is Ezekiel is In the flesh, Ezekiel is sitting in Babylon, okay? He's sitting in his house in Babylon, and he is taken up into the spirit, and God grabs him by a lock of his hair, a hand forms, and grabs him and throws him up in the sky, throws him up in the air, and he flies up there and he takes him in visions. He flies him up over to Jerusalem, or to the temple. He takes him to the Temple Mount. And where the temple is, and he takes him to there, and he says, I want to show you some things. All right, because meanwhile, there's 70 elders back in Judah that went with the dispersion. They are back there, and what are they doing? They're back there, and they're meeting at his house. They're having a meeting, you know, and they're talking about everything. And they're wondering, why is everything so bad? Why are we going through this, and why is it this way? And God is showing him that he is justified by what he is doing. God is showing him, he needed not to show them that he was justified, but he did anyway. He showed his prophet why he was justified. Now, the title of this message is Ezekiel's Television, or Chambers of Imagery. Chambers of Imagery. Did you catch that? It says here, the text verse would be this one. It says here, then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. What they're doing in the dark where nobody can see them. They're doing it in their homes. This is his house where he lives. And God takes him in there and says, look, son of man, look through there. Now dig through the wall and look what they're doing here. See what they're doing? Here's another one for you. He says, so I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. So it's like this right here would be the wall. And he says, all the creeping things, all the abominable things, all the wicked things are portrayed on the wall. See what every man does in the chambers of his imagery? Think about that. First, what do we see though in this text? The first thing that we see when he flies him over and he takes him through there, we see an amazing picture of a Christian's home today. Ezekiel has been taken up in the Spirit of God, and he was grabbed by the lock of the head and taken to the temple of God. The first thing we saw was the image of jealousy. That's the first thing that he saw as soon as he got there, was the image of jealousy that was outside of the house at the inner gate. The image of jealousy. Now, many believe that this image of jealousy was the statue or idols of some sort of possibly the image that Manasseh reared up and was taken down by his son, but was put up again by the other king before the dispersion took place. And that image was right outside of the temple gate. Right at the outer gate of the temple was an image. A false god was reared up. A false idol was reared up right there. And God said, what do you know, Ezekiel? The first thing that I see when I travel up through there, Ezekiel, I see the image of jealousy. You see it? Son of man, do you see that image of jealousy? That image that provokes me to jealousy? No groves or idols or any pagan things were supposed to be near the temple of God. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Remember that? Remember when he gave the Ten Commandments, he said, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Let me ask you a question. Let's make a comparison here. Are there any images of jealousy near you? You know, the Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Are there any images of jealousy? Are there anything that would cause God to be jealous? Are there any idols in your life that would cause God to be jealous, that would provoke the Lord to jealousy? Is there anything in your life that would provoke the Lord to jealousy? Anything near the temple of the Holy Ghost that would compete with God in your life? Does God have every area of your life? Anything competing for your affections and devotion? Have I placed anything before God? Is there an image of jealousy reared up outside the temple of God? The temple of the Holy Ghost? Is there something there? Now I believe that amusement and entertainment, I believe they are the image of jealousy today in most Christians' lives. I believe amusement and entertainment, entertaining the flesh and being driven by the flesh, pleasing the flesh is the image of jealousy today in the Christian's life. We were warned by God, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. Again, I've said this to you before, I'll say it again. That was to the Christian. That was not to the lost person. John said, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. The last thing he said. Why? Because it is so easy for you and I to rear up an idol. You know, we shake our head and we point our finger at Israel all the time. When we go through the Old Testament, we say, shh, I mean, they were worshiping the sun. They had this image of jealousy here. Yeah, well, what idols do you and I have, though? For many of us, entertainment and amusements and things like that have been idols that we've reared up. But we look at them like they're awful because they have a certain name. Well, so does yours. It's called a television or Hollywood or amusement. We have those same things, and we've had those in our lives, and we've had things that we've made more important than God. How many times have you watched a program and not read your Bible that day? How many times went shopping or surfing on the internet or hunting or fishing or hiking or whatever hobby you have? How many times have you done those things and not even bothered to open your Bible that day and learn something from God and to commune with your God? So wouldn't that not be an idol then? Wouldn't that be an image of jealousy? Wouldn't that cause God to be jealous then? Seems like it would. Some of you might know a book other than the Bible better than you do the Word of God. You might know a video, or you might know about a sport, or you might know about hunting or fishing or shooting or for a lady, sewing or whatever. Whatever the case may be, you might know all those things better than you know the Word of God. You might know a Christian book and go to a Christian book for an answer before you go to the Word of God for the answer. What is that? That's an image of jealousy that is reared up. It's an image that has been reared up. The Christian is warned to keep ourselves from idols, for the Lord our God is a jealous God. God doesn't want to share His glory or worship with anyone else. God doesn't want to compete with something else for your devotion and my devotion. This should also show us that God's eyes are over us, and look, He looks at even the slightest thing as He passes through Ezekiel, through this temple. He is looking and He notices it. Hey, see that, Ezekiel? You see that image of jealousy right there? What is the image of jealousy for us? Every man would be different. But as this image is so visible on the outside, something must be going on the inside for them to blatantly put this image of jealousy right at the front gate. Right when Ezekiel, God shows him right away. Notice, brethren, that the image of jealousy was there, but also the glory of the Lord was there. God was there too. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord was there. He says here that looketh toward the north, there was a seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there. He says that the God of Israel and His glory was there. That means that He's talking to somebody that has the power of God, or has the glory of God anyway, has salvation anyway, is one of His children. The glory of God is right there. So God is saying, I am there, my glory is there, and I'm having to compete with this image of jealousy in your life. This image that you have reared up in your life. This idol that is in your life. It doesn't say you're not saved. It says there's an image there. Amen. It says there's an image there. There's an image of jealousy there. God help us as He is trying to speak to His children. But you know what? You and I are paying more attention to the images of jealousy than we are to what we should be paying attention to, and that's the Lord. Then we see the chambers of imagery of the elders of Israel. As we go on and continue, he says here, furthermore, son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn ye yet again. Turn ye yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. God's power is far off from His people and His churches today because of their images of jealousy and their relationships with idols. The fact that we are driven by the flesh and not led by the Spirit of God. The fact that we have allowed our lives to be consumed with things that don't please the Lord. We have not hearkened to the Lord our God and wholly followed Him. Sin will separate you from your God. Your fellowship is marred by sin. No, your sonship is not marred. Your fellowship is marred. Just like when your son sins against you, it mars the fellowship. In the church of Laodicea, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I'm on the outside here. He says that Laodicea was rich and increased in goods. They had everything. They had all their money. They had all their programs. They had everything. But they didn't have me because I was on the outside, the Holy Ghost said, and I was knocking. Amen? Here's where the prophet of God is taken into the chamber of imagery. He's taken inside here and he showed something. He brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. Here is where he sees greater abominations than was seen on the outside. These were the 70 elders of Israel. These were the Sanhedrin. They were to be the ones that kept idolatry out of Israel by a strict adherence to the law of God. But he goes into their homes and in their dwelling place and he sees inside of it. And he said unto them, unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. When Ezekiel went in, to his surprise, there was all manner of evil and wickedness going on. He was shocked to see that everything that the Word of God preached against, they had on their walls. They had in their chambers of imagery. Right there. Right there. Ezekiel was viewing what you and I would call their television. He was viewing what we would say a chamber, the images of a chamber. If we had a chambers of imagery, we had a box that produces images, that would be a television. So I'm liking it to that. And they had those images were all over, plastered all over the wall. Of all manner of wicked things, all manner of evil. He saw the satyr, the dog gods of Egypt, the lion gods and the hybrids of Baal, and all manner of evil. All of those false gods everywhere. Everything that God had preached against. Everything that when they walked into the temple, they preached against and they taught against. All of those things were right there. In their chambers of imagery. Right there. So wait a minute, are you saying that they would go to the temple on the Sabbath day and preach against these wicked things? Then in the chambers of their imagery, they would view all these abominable things? Yeah. Yeah, that's what they did. That's what God revealed unto Ezekiel that they were doing. They would preach against fornication and wickedness and idolatry, but notice they even burnt incense to these gods in the chambers of imagery. Incense is a form of worship. You see, they spent more time with these images than they did with their God and the law of Moses. You mean they spent more time worshiping, viewing these images than they did in the Word of God? Yep. That's exactly what they did. In fact, they knew all about these gods and their images and this false worship than they did about God's book. They knew the names. They knew how to draw them. They knew what incense those gods liked. They had many characters to keep track of, for the images in their chambers were many. So you see, they knew about all the abominable images and acts on the wall that God forbid them to have. And God forbid their eyes to see. I want you to notice something else about these chambers of imagery, though. Just because the actual gods were not there did not change the fact that it was idolatry. These were all images on their walls in their homes, in their dwelling place in the temple. I don't see anywhere where God says, "Well, son of man, as you can see, these are just images of the real thing. They're not real. They're just images." God didn't say, "Ezekiel, they're only images. So they're not really involved in idol worship. They're just chambers of imagery. They're just images in their chambers. They're just images. That's all they are." No, God appears to be very angry with them and provoked to jealousy by what he has seen. God has brought him there to show him their wicked images and what they have reared up to make more important than him. Now then, let's compare it to us and our time. God showed Ezekiel what was done in the chamber of the elders of Israel. This is also an applicable picture of what goes on in believers' homes today. The TV and movies that are watched in their chambers of imagery. We, like the Sanhedrin, have preached, "Thou shalt not," but then we have brought wickedness of television in our homes and have watched them on our chambers, in our chambers of imagery. In our own personal chambers, these images arise. We preach separation on Sunday, but in the home we watch abominable things that God hates. We as Christians rail against those that have and support the Hollywood industry. We rail against abortion. We rail against these other things. But then we support Hollywood, which pushes all the wickedness, lewdness, and fornication. We preach for modesty, then watch TV programs and movies that push the attire of a harlot. Amen. We sing the songs of the Lord in church, and then in the chambers of our imagery, we watch and listen to wicked things. TV pushes another god, yet we watch it and preach against it on Sunday. We preach against the false worship, we preach against those things, but then we partake in watching them. What is our excuse? Well, it's only television. It's only just some images. I mean, all it is, right? Oh, you mean like the same thing that God took Ezekiel in to see on their wall? And they had all manner of creeping things, abominable things, false gods, wickedness, things written and pictures on there, and everything of all, every abominable act you could imagine was on their walls. Did God say, well, they're just images is all they are? Isn't that the same excuse that we would use today? Oh, they're just images. It's not really fornication. It's not really wickedness. It's not really homosexuality. It's not really bestiality. It's not really magic. It's not really, it's fantasy. Well, let me tell you something. God just crushed your fantasy because he went in there and he showed them, look what's on the wall, son of man. Look what they have plastered across their walls. And in the temple, no less. In the private chamber. Right there. In the private chamber. Not for the world to see. Not for church members to see. But you and I have the distinct ability to be able to take a phone somewhere. We can take a phone somewhere. We can take a movie somewhere. We can take an iPad. We can take anything, and we can go off somewhere, or we can sit down in our living room and we can click something and we can watch whatever we want. Nobody else from church is going to know. Why? Because it's in the chambers of our imagery. It's in our chambers, and these images are everywhere, and nobody knows, right? Your church members don't know. Your fellow church members don't know what you watch. They don't know what you're doing. Amen? They don't know what's going on at all. You could be watching anything and nobody would know. And you come on and we walk into the temple. We walk into the church house on Sunday. And we sing the songs of God after Saturday night watching something that dishonors God. Amen? We sing the songs of God and we stand up and we listen to preaching and we say amen, and then we go home and click on some movie. Some Hollywood program. Why? Because nobody sees us in the chambers of in our chambers. Nobody sees the imagery in our chambers. Nobody sees anything. Right? Our church members, we're not going to be embarrassed. They're not going to know what we're watching. So we keep that all private. We don't talk to other people about what we watch. We just keep it private. Right? Isn't that not what they were doing? You say, yeah, but they had false gods. Are you trying to say that the movies that you've watched don't have wickedness in them and lewdness and things that preach a different message besides the one that this Bible preaches? Well, let me ask you a question. Even before we started preaching on Hollywood, but let's just say a month ago, if we were to come into your house and we were to grab the movies, would you be willing to show that? Would they be appropriate to show at church on Sunday? How about the last movie that you rented? Would that be appropriate to show on Sunday? Think about it. Would it be? Does it curse? Does it mock God? Is there lying in it? Is there thievery in it? Is there wickedness in it? Is the content of it evil? Does it preach another message other than the gospel? Would it lead somebody astray? Would it show a woman not dressed right? But it's okay, right? Because it's in our own chambers. Right? It's in our own chambers. So it's okay. So what did God do? God took Ezekiel into those chambers and he said, "Son of man, you see the image of jealousy out here, but let's go in a little bit deeper. Let's dig in the wall, son of man. Dig in that wall and find that door. Now go through that door and see what's in there." And he walked into that chambers of imagery, that chamber, and he said, "Look at all these in the chambers of their imagery. Every man, look at this. Then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery." Why is he doing it in the dark? I mean, let's be honest. If we couldn't talk about what we watched on Saturday, on Sunday morning, then we probably shouldn't have watched it. Amen? Why? Well, because if we don't want anybody to know what we're watching or what we're viewing or what we're doing it in the chambers of our imagery. We're doing it inside so nobody sees it. Right there, all those images, only we see it so nobody else knows. I want you to notice something here. Remember what God said? He says here, "For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." Isn't that what we're saying? When we watch things like that on television, we watch things like that. Isn't that what God is saying? Isn't that what we're saying? Well, aren't we being a respecter of person? We're more worried about what our fellow Christian thinks than what God Almighty thinks. Isn't that a little bit of a problem? Does that mean there's a communication problem between you and God? If it's not a big deal what you and I watch on a movie or on a program, but we're more worried about what a friend thinks? Or what a brother in Christ thinks, but we're not really worried about what God thinks? Doesn't that seem to be that there's a communication problem there? Between you and the Lord? How long has it been since you talked to your friend then? Amen? But we can hide it in our chambers of imagery. We can hide it from man, that's for sure. And you and I can fool each other rather easily. Because we fear man and not God. "Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken." That's us today. You see, we look at Israel and we say we would never rear up idols and worship falsely like they did. We say we would never do that, but we do. Our idols just have different names. Amen. Come on. Our idols just have different names. We put other things first. They had their vices and their sins, and we have ours, but we seem to think that we're better than them. Oh, look at that guy, worshiping the sun. Oh yeah, well how many times have you entertained yourself on witchcraft and wicked movies? Isn't that worshiping? Isn't that false worship? Isn't that entertaining my flesh on something that is against God? What am I doing? Well, I'm sitting down there in front of this imagery, this box of imagery that is showing me and teaching me about false gods, about magic, about other things. But whether it's horror movies or whatever it is, I'm watching those things. I'm looking at those. How's that any different? How's it any different when I pay homage and allegiance to a movie and not to God? When I can sit down and watch a 2-hour movie, but I can't sit down and read my Bible for 15 minutes. Amen. How many times are you, folks, let's not fool ourselves. Are we really trying to figure out why we don't have any power with God today? Are we trying to figure out why our country's sinking worse and worse into wickedness? When God says, Son of man, dig a hole in the wall and look inside the wall. Go into their chambers of imagery and see what they do in there. Because if this prophet would come into our home and dig into our walls and look into our chambers of imagery, our televisions, what would he see? Would he see situation ethics? Would he see false gods? Would he see the idol of TV and movies and internet and other things being used more than our prayer closets and our Bibles and serving the Lord? Would he see fornication, adultery, nudity, witchcraft, idolatry? Yes, I believe if he came to us, the same would happen. We're not better than they are. The real problem is the same as Israel. We don't realize that God is watching us. Oh, we're doing it in the dark. We're doing it in our chambers of imagery. Our brethren in Christ won't find out. You're right about that. You know what? We can fool each other all the time. We've been doing it for a while. But you know what? When the bottom line comes and we look at things and we see, we're not fooling God any. God's not honored by that. You think God is honored by programs that preach against His Word, that preach against Him, that teach a situation ethic, that teach something that you would never... Well, let me ask you something. The last 20, 30 movies that you've watched in the last year or two or how long, I don't know how long, I hope you're not watching that many every week, but the last 20 or 30 movies that you've watched in the last year, let me ask you something. Do they teach the principles that you will sit down with your children and teach them how to live for God? Do they help educate them in the faith and build them up in the faith and teach them right and wrong? Teach them how to live for God? Teach them that there are absolutes in this world and it's not just situation ethics? Do they teach them the truth? They teach them how to, or do they teach an opposite message? Folks, really, are we really wondering why our children, these second generations, that these 80% of kids leave the church? Well, let me ask you something. Out of your friends and your family in the last 30 years, how many of them went to church on Sunday, probably did a bus route even, or went to church, but they watched programs that were not Christ-honoring? Amen? That preach a different message. Now let me ask you a question. How many of those people said, well, fine, I'm going that way? And how many of them are in the world now and away from God? How many? Quite a few, right? Why is that? Because there were two messages. There were two messages that were given. There was one from the pulpit, and there was one from television. And the television couldn't keep up. The pulpit can't keep up with the television if it's got to compete with it. Amen. It won't be able to. God sees every dirty movie and every false way and is ready to pardon, but there must be repentance. We cry out for the wickedness of America, but we don't put away the idols that are among us. Hollywood is satanic, as we've revealed. But let me bring this home a little bit here. The same thing God was trying to tell him. What did he say? He said, furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here? That I should go far off from my sanctuary? Do we really have to wonder why there's no power today in our churches? Do we really wonder why we had traded in programs for power or power for programs? We said, well, we don't have the power of God, so we'll invent a program to assimilate people into the church and we'll entertain the goats. So our churches are full of goats instead of sheep. Let me say this. The cries of revival and the cries for power are empty cries today. You have preachers traveling all over the country preaching revival meetings, never touching movies and entertainment, never talking about what you do in the chambers of your imagery, never dealing with that. Why? Well, because they won't get a big love offering and they'll never be invited back again. That's why. Amen. Come on, it's the truth. You go into a 1,000-member church or a 2,000-member church and you stand up there and let me preach that Hollywood series at a church. Give me a 3-day revival. Okay, I'll preach it. Well, I'll go there. I'll preach on Hollywood for 3 days. You think we'll get out of the first day without that preacher coming and saying, you know, preacher, you might want to tone it down a little bit. You might want to back off a little bit. I would venture to say that preacher at the average church, after I preached one message there, would come to me afterwards and say, "No, preacher, I think we better just close this meeting. And we'll just give you a love offering. We'll just send you on your way." Why? Because we don't want to deal with the real reason why we don't have power, and it's because we live in the flesh. Amen. It's because people are so busy entertaining themselves that I have never in my life had so much headbutting go on when I've preached on any topic, and I've preached on a ton of them. But boy, you touch somebody's entertainment idol, and they will flip. When you tell them it's wrong to bring those movies, but you know what I would like these theologians and these wonderful Christians? Why don't you come and sit down with a Bible with me and let's talk about these things? Instead, all of you will get flack for it, but nobody will be brave enough to come and talk to me about it. And why is that? Because once you sit down with the Bible and you tell them, it's not because I'm something great, it's because I'm going to pull out the Bible and say, "All right, I want you to defend Hollywood with the Word of God. I want you to prove that watching wickedness and fornication and innuendos and all of those things are Christ-honoring. I want you to show me that magic is Christ-honoring. I want you to show me that wizards and warlocks and witches are Christ-honoring. I want you to show me that Disney is Christ-honoring. I want you to show me that those things are Christ-honoring." And you'll hear that, crickets. That's exactly what you'll hear. Why is that? Because it can't be defended. It's wicked and satanic, and they know it. And you know what? Ezekiel knew it too when God flew him in there and showed him into the wall and said, "Son of man, look at their chambers of imagery. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. They're crying out because they've lost the land and the kingdom is gone. But look what they're doing." You know what I hear a lot of Americans, a lot of preachers travel around, "Oh God, we need revival." But nobody wants to touch on sin. Nobody wants to lay specific sins. Nobody wants to talk about the bitterness of heart and the anger and the judgment. Talk about those things. Nobody wants to talk about the wicked sins and lust and the television, the movies and the entertainment and the video games, the fact that we're not parenting our children anymore. Nobody wants to deal with those things. And when you don't deal with those things, guess what? You're not going to have God's power. Because he said, "Furthermore, unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations of the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? Why should I even be there?" Now, he was there, but he said, "Why should my power be there? Why should I be there? Why would I dwell in the midst of that? You've already provoked me to jealousy, so why would I give you your power?" We have a prayer meeting, we have a church service, we preach the Word of God, we come in, and then the very next day we watch something that is not Christ-honoring. We watch something wicked and satanic, we watch something that doesn't please God, something that is full of, listen, with 74%, or something like 74 or 64% of content being that of a sexual nature on television, are you trying to tell me, or in movies today, are you trying to tell me you can find one that Hollywood produces that doesn't have something in there like that? You really telling me that the last movies you watched that were from modern movies from this time, and even since the 80s back here, or forward here, are you trying to tell me really that there's nothing that doesn't have that content in there? Doesn't allude to that? Doesn't give those impressions? You really want your children thinking that? You know, they've already proven by statistics that the fact that these children have been exposed from a very young age, from the age of my children on up, to this lewdness, that it has created in them, that they lose their virginity in their teens. Why? Well, because like when I was a kid, I was able to sit there and watch everything I wanted to, and nobody knew what I was doing. So I went like this. And I saw all wicked. I saw everything from the chambers of imagery that you can imagine. I mean, my eyes were withheld from nothing that you could imagine at a young age. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you the truth. And you don't understand. See, where you listen to me. Here's what people don't understand. You have no idea what goes on out there. You don't have a clue what people are facing. You don't have an idea what they're facing out there. You don't know. Trust me. You look at me and you wonder why I preach so hard and I say the things I do. Well, you don't sit on the other side of a phone and listen to somebody weeping and crying and howling for their lives being ruined. You have somewhat of a nice bubble to live in. And you were raised with some decent morality for the most part. And you weren't exposed to some of those things. Let me tell you, folks, I have heard things from people that I can't even repeat. That when I hear it, all I did was sit there and bawl like a baby for hours after I heard it. And I was sick to my stomach. Sick. But why preach so hard? Why not just go with the generalities? Why not just... Because Ezekiel went in, he saw what was going on at Chambers of Imagery, and God showed him and said, you expect to have power? Listen, folks, we're not going to have any power with God until we put away these idols and this wickedness. Why do you think the average church is dead? You go in on Sunday morning and it's the same message over and over and over again. The same program over and over and over again. There's a coldness and a deadness. Why? Because the power of God is not there. And the reason it's not there is because their hearts are hardened due to sin. Why? Because of this, the chambers of their imagery. That's one of the reasons. The fact that people waste money on cable television. Just throwing money down a rat hole. Amen! I mean, you click through that garbage right there, and you're defiled every channel you click on until you try to find something that might be halfway decent. Some of those places you go to, I've been to a hotel before, with my family, and then click, 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 and I'm telling you what, you're going to be violated clicking through there. Just clicking through it. But you're going to tell me that God's going to give His power and you're really praying for revival and we're serious about it when we have so much of an emotional attachment to entertainment? Really? When God looks into the chambers of our imagery and He looks inside there and He sees that, He says, what, you think I'm going to give you your power? I'm going to give you power? What are you, I'm going to bless this garbage? I can't bless you. I can't give you my power. You provoked me to jealousy. Why would I give you my power? Why would I bless you? Why would I save your children? Why would I save your nation? Why would I save your church? Why? You don't want me. You don't want God's power. You want to entertain the flesh. You want to build up the flesh. You want to please the flesh. You're not serious about God. And you know what? God knows whether we're serious or not. And God knows whether we're going to actually look at a movie and start weeping and howling and crying because we can't give something up. Do we even have to think about it? We have to sit there and look at it and really think about it. Do I really? I mean, really? I got to sit here and think about that? Like I'm losing something. Do you get it? Do you get how far gone we are? We're standing around acting like we've lost something. You've got sin out of your life. You haven't lost anything but sin and wickedness. You know, wickedness begets more wickedness. Each generation is worse than the other. If your one generation did something bad, I guarantee you the children of those parents are doing much worse. Unless some supernatural moving of the Spirit of God comes in, they're doing much worse. If it wasn't for me getting saved, I guarantee you I'd be 10 times worse than what I am right now. I guarantee you. Because I was already heading that direction. And I've watched the last 12 years of my life, after I got saved, and the family members that didn't, and how much they have went down. And how wicked they really are. And I have to stand back and just thank God for what He's done in my life and that He spared me from it. You just don't understand how wicked people can really be. And it all starts when you set somebody in front of those television, those movies, and you just let them go and you let them watch whatever they want to watch. And you feast on those things. And you don't put your life into perspective. You say you're blaming everything on TV? No, but I'll tell you what, our world would be a lot better off if that thing was never invented. I can guarantee you that. It'd be a lot better off if Hollywood went to hell. Amen! We'd be a lot better off if the ground just opened up, just like for Korah, and sucked all them in and got all of them down into hell. We'd be a lot better off. We really would be. And if that upsets you, good. I'm glad it did. I hope it did. If you've ever listened to this, I hope you get upset by that. I really do. Why? Because, folks, wickedness begets more wickedness. We have pastors screaming all over the country for revival. Their people are spiritually cold. They want them to wake up, but God will do nothing with us until we put away those wicked chambers in our chambers of imagery, to put those things away and have nothing to do with them and start getting serious about the Lord. It's sad. You know what? Do you understand why we have to go back to basics with everybody? Do you understand why you have to get so basic with Christians, with so-called born-again Christians at churches, and they don't have a clue what you're talking about? And when you bring a sermon up like this, they practically lose their mind. Do you understand why? Because they've been feasting on the world so long through that TV that they don't even know what real spirituality is. They've never caught a glimpse of God's holiness. They've never had Him pick them up and smack them down a few times and do something in their life. And you know what? That's why they're so cold and dead, and that's why they get so mad when they hear a sermon like this. Amen. That's the reason they get so mad. That's the reason they can't handle it. Amen. Because they're a bunch of babies that need to be fed with a bottle. Because they've never grown. You know, these 70 elders had lost control of Jerusalem. There was no king anymore. Babylon ruled Israel, and they still had not repented. We have the most wicked president ever, but God's people in America still hold on to their worldliness. You've got born-again Christians out there, or professing Christians out there, trying to debate things that there's no debate to. They're merging with Hollywood. They're trying to shake hands with Hollywood. They're trying to work with them. They're trying to get along. They're trying to tone down everything. Why don't God's people just go walk up to it and shut it off and not watch it in the first place? Because you're not gonna make the world change. Amen. You're not gonna change the world like that. You're gonna change it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's it. You have so many preachers out there that won't preach against Hollywood. Why do you think it was such a shock? I put those sermons online and I'm amazed at how shocked people are. As if I've never said anything straightforward before. I've never preached anything hard before. But you have people coming all out of the woodwork and saying, well, you know, I mean, you got to give people time to do this, and what are they supposed to do, and what are they supposed to do with their life? I don't know. Go live, really? Really, what are you supposed to do? Move here. I got plenty of things for you to do. Then he said unto me, "Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them." You know what's going on today? Judgment must begin at the house of God. And you've got everybody wanting to point their finger at Obama and say how wicked Obama is. Demon. I think he is. I think he's a devil. I understand that, okay? But there's no doubt in my mind, that's pretty obvious. I'm more concerned with the fact that God's people, that we don't want to put away sin in our lives, that we are more concerned with being entertained than we are having the power of God. And for some reason, we actually believe we're fooling God with it. That's the thing. We actually believe, just like the Israelites did, that God doesn't see this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Pretty clear here that God says if you want His power, if you want fellowship with Him, then you're going to have to come out from among them and be separate. What if somebody were to walk up to you and say, well, you know, what'd you watch on TV last night? Looked at him and said, nothing, we don't watch TV. You know what's the funniest thing ever? Is the cable guy comes around all the time and he knocks on our door or they call me and they're just, they almost have a heart attack when they call me on the phone. It's funny. One guy stopped off the other day at the house, but they call me on the phone like maybe once or twice a month and they say, you know, well, just want to ask you some questions and everything. Oh, okay, yeah. And what do you like to watch on TV? I don't watch TV. What? What do you like to watch? Well, if you had TV, I don't want it. Why not? We don't watch TV. I mean, you don't watch anything? You don't watch anything at all? No, I don't watch TV. And they're dumbfounded by it. Well, you know, what do you like to do for fun? And they start trying to get so they could get a channel or something that I might like to get me on there. I was like, well, we ain't going to watch TV. It just ain't going to happen. We don't do that. Oh, okay. Well, have a good day. Yep. Okay, bye. Then a guy stops off at the house, same thing. You know, you don't watch any TV? I mean, they're so shocked. They're like, you're an alien or something. You know, like, wow, where are you from? Really? Yeah, really. I don't want it either. And next time somebody asks me, I'm going to say, no, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't watch television. I believe it's from the pit of hell. That's what I'm going to tell him next time he calls me. I'm serious. I'm going to tell him, I'm a born-again Christian. I think television, I think your Hollywood programming is straight from the pit of hell. That's what I think it is. And then he'll really understand why I'm so crazy. Amen. Why can't we be bold? Why can't we just, why? Because we're so tainted with sin, we can't stand up and be bold. Aren't they bold? Aren't those stars bold when they walk around half naked all the time? When they flaunt their homosexuality, aren't they bold? Don't they laugh at you? Don't they mock Christ? They make so many movies of witch and glorify witchcraft and they're bold about it and they make billions of dollars on it and they laugh at all the Christians that go and watch it. What did God say to us? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You and I, when we sit in front of a television and watch things that don't honor God and watch a bunch of Hollywood garbage, what are we doing? We're sitting in the chambers of our imagery and we're watching all of these things, just like Israel, but we'll point our finger and say, well, you know, they had idols, but we don't do that. Oh, yes, we do. Ours just have different names, that's all. But we do. And you know what? America isn't going to be saved as long as God, and probably never will be in the first place, but because God's people won't get real. You got a liberty movement out there, and I thank God for liberty movement, but they're trying to get an answer other than Christ. And Christ is the answer. Amen. Christ is the answer. But you know what they want? They want liberty to be wicked. And God's not going to bless that. He just isn't. We don't have the same thing that we had in 1776 here. We don't have that. We don't have that spirit that wanted to do right and live godly and live. Not everybody was like that, but the bulk of people were. And we don't want that now. But you know what? If you're ever going to have a relationship with God, you're going to let them idols go. The idols are going to have to be destroyed. The wicked TV movies and programs must be cast off. Christ will have no fellowship with idols. Until we get serious in America about coming out from among them and being separate, why is it so difficult for us to just be different than them, than the world? Why don't we want to be different? Why don't we want to be looked on as odd? No, I don't watch television. I don't do that. Why are we so... No, I don't go to the beach because women are naked there. Why are we so afraid of that? Why are we so afraid to just come out and boldly say it? Because see, it's not embarrassing to me. It's a way to preach. Amen. Who are we fooling anyway? You have churches and evangelists today having mixed martial art meetings to promote people to get into the church house. That's you know, mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu and all that, to try to get people to try to have meetings and everything. You've got pastors that are again doing all these gimmicks and all these things, and really what we need to do, why? Because we're entertaining the goats, and the fact that professing Christians need entertained is because years of them vegging out and watching television all the time and going home and clicking that box and turning that on 24/7 all the time. That box is on when they're awake. People turn that thing on, they start it early in the morning and they watch it all the way through at night. I've seen it. I've seen people do it. I used to do it when I was younger at home. That's what went on. Just watch it all the way through. It was always on. It was never off. The TV was never off. It was always on. It was never off. It was always on. That's the way it was. So what happened? You fill your heart up with that stuff. And it impacts you. So then what happens? You put a kid in front of that stuff, and then they can't listen to anything. They can't even do school. When they're playing video games all the time, they're watching movies, they can't sit down and do anything in school. They can't concentrate. Why? Because they want the pastor to get up and start and act like a video game. That's what they're expecting. I won't act like a video game, but I will preach the devil out of you. Amen. They can't sit still. Why? They can't learn anything. Why? Because all they've done is watch television and something's entertained them. Because preachers don't preach against it anymore, American churches are trying to entertain people. So the fundamentalist kids took it one step further and jumped into the CCM and the emergent church crowd. By the way, fundamentalism, the emergent church crowd came from fundamentalism. That is a direct product of fundamentalism. So before all these fundamentalists that are all there and act like they're all innocent and they're railing against the emergent church movement, they ought to know they're the fathers of the emergent church movement. Amen. They're the ones that invented all the circuses, all the games, all the prizes, all the fun stuff, and brought it all to church and turned it into a circus. And then when those guys said, well, yeah, I'm a little bit older now, I like a little bit more of adult entertainment. These guys are singing rock and roll music over here. These guys have a coffee shop here. These guys have this going on in here. These guys have that going on there. Hey, I'm going over there. Greg Locke has rap music. I'm going to his church. What is he? He's going to emergent church. He's a product of the fundamentalist movement. He just took it one step further, that's all. He outfunded them is what he did. He just outfunded them. That's what he did. Hey, Ben. That's what he did. He just out-gimmicked them. Hey, you got a gimmick? I got a better one. I'll be Vanilla Ice. Some of you don't know who that is, but anyway. So he's Pastor Ice now. That's who he is. Hey, Ben, it's fine then. He's okay with it. He's not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to call him out on it. The emergent church movement is a product of that. What is my point? My point is if we don't get rid of these chambers of imagery, if we don't destroy that Hollywood and the garbage and the smut and the wickedness in our homes, we're never going to have the power of God. What happened? What is God showing you? He says, my glory is going to be far from you. What has happened in the churches today? The glory of God is far, far, far from us. Amen. We got to get serious, folks. And I don't mean just this church. This is a cry out to America. We've got to get serious. We really do. There's some things in our lives, whether it's television or movies or whatever, it's something else. What image of jealousy is in your life that's causing you to not have the relationship with God that you should have? Is it a husband? Is it a wife? Is it your children? What has your heart that God doesn't have it? What has your affection? What has your time? What has your love? How much do you give the God of your life? Is He in every area of your life? Does He lead in every area of your life? Is there a part of your life that you don't let God into? How well do you know God's book? Do you know a novel? Do you know the characters of a television program or a movie better than you do your Bible? Some of you have seen a movie probably 50 or 60 times in your life, and you could almost memorize that movie by heart. But if somebody asked you to memorize 5 verses of the Bible, you probably couldn't do it. You could tell me the plot of your favorite movie, but you couldn't tell me anything about the kingdom of God. Amen. You could probably tell me the plot of your favorite movie, but when you got into the scriptures and I asked you to explain the parable of the prodigal son, you probably couldn't explain it. If I asked you to explain eternal security, I wonder if you could. If I asked you to explain, if you were called upon to explain why we should live separated lives and what is a separated life, I wonder if you could explain it. I wonder if you could explain to your family and your friends why you abstain from certain things. I wonder if you know your Bible well enough to be able to explain that. No, maybe not, but you could probably go in and explain to me a television show that you watch with characters that are on it and be able to explain every single detail about that movie and tell me the plot, what happened, who the actors were, and everything else, but you couldn't tell me anything about the crucifixion and the characters that were around the crucifixion. You couldn't explain that. Why? Because the images of jealousy are reared up, and those are the things that you've concentrated on, and not the things of God. And God says, I'm a jealous God, and if you think I'm going to share with your image of jealousy, it isn't going to happen. I'm not going to give you my power. I won't share my glory with anyone. I'm not going to answer your prayers because everything else is more important to you than fellowship with me.